Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. It's good to see everybody. Let's pray together, and then we'll open the Word. If you'd like to get a head start, we're in 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through chapter 3, verse 10 this morning. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together to worship you. I pray that as we spend this time in your Word, that you might challenge our hearts. I pray that we might not think that we've got a handle on everything, but that we are open to learn through your Spirit. And I pray that as I speak this morning, that you might be seen and that you might be heard. I pray that you might use me to bring clarity to your Word, and that you might touch our hearts, that you might speak to our hearts, that you might challenge our hearts, so that we might reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. We thank you again for this time together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we've been working through the book of 1 John, we've seen a number of unique things that we have because we are believers in Jesus Christ and we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Each one of those unique elements of our lives mold and shape us as it should mold and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, as John has walked us through, he starts off with reminding us that there was this intimate personal relationship that he had with the God of the universe through the person of Jesus Christ. I walked with him. I talked with him. I ate with him. I spent time with him. I ministered alongside him. I saw the miracles. I heard the words that he spoke. So what I am writing to you, church, is that this isn't something that I conjured up in my mind. This is what I saw, and I am now communicating with you because it is of utmost importance. Because this is how we need to live in a culture. John's writing this. This is how we need to live, and these are the things that we need to remember, because we are living in a culture and we are living in a society that is opposed to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so into the culture in which John was writing, we can insert us at this point in time, because we are being challenged on all sides. The message of the gospel of Christ is an offense to so many people. And how are we going to stand? And how are we going to be bold? And how are we going to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ with its clarity to a culture and to a society that is seeking to destroy the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It was true in John's day. It is true for us today. And the weakness in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ today, I believe, is the Church of Jesus Christ in America. We back down. We don't speak with the boldness that we should speak. We don't have the understanding of the Word of God that we should have. We don't have that handle on the Word of God as it applies to our lives, as it changes our lives, as it molds or should be molding our lives and shaping our lives. That song that we just sang should be our prayer. Mold me, guide me, shape me into the image of Jesus Christ, so that when I face this world and I face this culture and I face this society, that there is something different about me. And there is something different about this church. And one of the things that I continually read and I continually see being spoken of is the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ in America today is no different than the world out there. That the impact of the Word of God in our lives isn't transformative. that it isn't shaping us and molding us, that people aren't seeing the image of Jesus Christ. So why do I need Christianity? Why do I need the Bible? If your life is no different than my life, why do I need to change my life to be like your life? Leave me alone. I'm good. And so as we've walked through the book of 1 John, my prayer is, and it's been a challenge to my heart, how do I change? What do I need to remove out of my life so that I might better reflect the image of Jesus Christ? So that as I'm walking out in this world, that people are seeing Christ being radiated in my life. That they say, I want that because it's different and it's life-changing. He starts off, John starts off in 1 John chapter 1 where he says, I had an intimate relationship with the Father. That's, or with Jesus Christ, and that's where it starts. I need to evaluate my life. Do I have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about I've gone to church all my life. I'm not talking about old GARBC that I've got all the banners for perfect attendance in Sunday school. I've been through Awana. I've got the Timothy Award. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is having an impact on my life today so that I might be able to have an impact on the culture and society where we are placed right now. That's my prayer for my life. It's a continual examination. It's a continual check, gut check of where I am, where my thoughts are, where my passions are, where my desires are. What am I striving after? And if I don't have that intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm a churchgoer. I'm not a follower of Christ. I've got great attendance at a church, but that's not going to get me into heaven. I look good here in this community, but in that community, they don't see a difference in me at all. So it is only as Christ and the Holy Spirit transforms our life, shapes us and molds us into the image of Jesus Christ, that we are going to be able to have an impact on this culture and this world. And that's where John is taking us. As we walk through this, we know that we are going to be in a battle, and we are in a battle. We have a unique battle that we're fighting. We have a unique enemy that is here to seek and destroy and divide. We were just talking in our board meeting, or team meeting, deacon team meeting. They're not boards anymore. Deacon team meeting, that Satan is a master of dividing and conquering. And the thing that he would love to do is divide us so that we are fighting all these battles internally and we forget about the great battle that we should be fighting, and that is for the cause of Christ and the message of the gospel of Christ. And we as a body, as a collective body on the corner of Ainsboro and Ridgeway need to put those things aside and say we need to have a vision of what God wants us to be in this community. Amen. And the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in this community. That's what's going to save America. Not another program, not another plan, not another president, not another Congress. It's going to be Christians being serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ and proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might have that impact. So this morning, long introduction to get us here, to 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 10. Let me read these for us this morning. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. John has a practice, as we've noticed, of being pretty upfront and personal. He doesn't beat around the bush. He tells it exactly like it is. He's not going to dance around any of these topics. He's going to go straight to the point. And this morning, he is coming right to the point again. He's not going to skirt the issue. He's going to be upfront and personal. And as we listen, and as this truth is upfront and personal, we need to examine our lives. We need to look at our hearts. We need to look at where we stand in relationship to the Word of God. And if there's something there that needs to be changed because I am confronted by the Holy Spirit with the Word of God, then we need to take care of it. James tells us that as we look into the Word of God, it's like a mirror. It reflects what is in front of it. And if we look in that mirror and we see that there's something that is an issue and we don't change it, we are foolish. And so this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, what we realize is that John is putting up a mirror in front of us. And he says, as a believer in Jesus Christ, because as we've titled this message, this unique relationship, that you need to look like your Heavenly Father. You need to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. And there are certain characteristics, and we usually go back to judge not lest you be judged, but John is saying, look, a believer in Jesus Christ is this. A follower of God is this. A follower of Satan is this. You judge. Just look at it. So let's dive in this morning. This unique relationship. We just had a wedding here yesterday. And relationships change, don't they? There comes that point in the wedding ceremony as the bride walks down the aisle and the guy almost passes out as he sees his bride coming down the aisle. And as we go through that wedding ceremony and as they exchange vows, as they exchange rings, as they spend this time in front of the congregation and their bridal party, and as they declare their love for one another, the relationship all of a sudden changes. After those vows, they exchange rings. And then there's this pronouncement. I now present to you, Mr. and Mrs. No longer two, but one. This unique relationship. 20 minutes earlier, they were two distinct people. As they walk down the aisle at the end of that ceremony, they are now one in Christ. And that relationship changes. And as we look at our lives in, as an individual, we understand that that relationship changes. There comes that point in our life when things change. And when is that? It comes when I understand that I am a sinner and I am bound for hell. I know we don't like to hear that because most of us feel we're pretty good people. I worked in a factory for a while. Bill Doman was a good friend of mine. And I had an opportunity to share Christ with them on I don't know how many occasions. And we used to go out and cut wood together. We used to go hunt. We used to go do a bunch of stuff together. And Bill told me one day, he goes, listen, I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. Love my wife. Love my kids. Go to church every now and then. I'm good. I don't need Christ. There has to come that point when I realize that I am a sinner and I'm separated from God. I'm bound for hell because any sin, as Paul tells us in Romans, that all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. There is no way that these little things are going to balance out. Have you ever heard that? I think we were talking about that the other night, weren't we? Here's the scale. But you know what? We're the ones that are putting the weights on the scale. And we say, you know what, this is all going to balance out eventually. This little sin, this good thing I did over here, those two balance out. And we are the ones who are putting the weights on the scale. The reality is that the weight of sin, there is no way that I could do enough to balance out that scale. So we need a Savior, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And now we have this unique relationship. Before we were enemies of God, before we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are an enemy of God. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we now have this unique relationship. And now we are a child of God. We are adopted into His family. And we have a number of families here in our church that have adopted little ones. And they know that process that they go through. And all of a sudden, there is this relationship change from being just a child that is wherever it may be to a child that is now part of a family. And we see that in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are now in an adopted family. The price has been paid for that adoption, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for us. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, Paul speaks of that adoption that comes. We are no longer separated from God, but now we are adopted into the family of God, and we are full sons and daughters of God because of that relationship. So, as we move on into this passage now, first of all, as you see up on the screen, we have a family connection in verses 28 and 29. It's interesting as we look at this passage throughout 1 John, we have seen John use the word little children. In these verses 2:28 to 3:10, six times he uses that word children. Now, on a couple of occasions, we saw that he used that word children as those who have not grown in the faith. As he uses it here, it is this collective family, the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And he is writing to fellow children, spiritual children as we walk along with God. So John writes, and now little children abide in him, and when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame. We might shrink also from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. A couple of things that we just want to point out here, which bring focus onto this unique family connection that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. John tells us that we need to abide in him. Little children, abide in him. What does he mean by that? Well, the word that he uses that same word in John chapter 15 when he talks about abiding in the vine. But the sense of that word is that we need to set up housekeeping. We need to establish our tent. We need to put down roots, however you want to use that word, that we are growing deep in this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, that we aren't transient, we aren't nomadic, that we aren't just floundering in our walk with Christ. We abide in Him so that when He appears, we have confidence. And what does He mean by that? This confidence is freedom in speaking or bold in our speech. If I don't have a relationship with someone or something, can I speak boldly about it and freedom and have the freedom of speech that I should have if I'm confronted or if I'm asked a question about it? Not at all. It's not until I grow in that relationship and I grow in that understanding, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether getting to know a person. It's spending time. It's understanding. It's going through circumstances and events in life that help us to grow in that understanding. I've met some people in my life. Not that it makes any difference who you meet, but I remember being out on the golf course. Jonathan's here today. I was out on the golf course in Muirfield in Dublin. And I had an opportunity to talk to Tiger Woods. Okay. Now you can take that for whatever that's worth, but I said hi to him as he walked by. He sort of nodded as he walked by. But if you do that right, and if you say it right, I can't talk with any authority because I don't know him. I don't know him personally. I said hi to him as he walked by. Are we that way with Christ? We've said hi along the way. But we can't talk with any authority because I don't have any relationship with Him. I haven't gone through experiences in my life where I've allowed Christ to do His work, His transforming work in my heart and in my life. And I can't speak confidently about this relationship that I have with Jesus Christ because I've said hi to Him on a golf course. Figuratively speaking, I could read a ton of books on Tiger Woods. I'm just using that as an example. He doesn't even show up on the golf course sometimes anymore. But, you know, you can read a ton of books and you can get all the facts and you can have all the information and you can, but you don't have an intimate relationship. And we come to church sometimes and we read the books and we know a lot and we have all this information, but I don't have an intimate relationship with Him because I'm not abiding in Him. I have the knowledge of Him, but I have no abiding relationship and understanding of the person of Jesus Christ. And it is only when I have this intimate, personal, abiding relationship that I could speak with confidence about this one that I know. This one that I love. And then John goes on to talk in those verses about righteousness. And what is that? I'm just living according to the Word in simple terms. I'm just living the way God would have me to live. That I'm practicing the things that I should be practicing as a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Jesus Christ. One who has an intimate personal relationship. All of us grew up in families, right? All of us grew up in a family. And there's this intimate personal relationship that we have with our father. And I wanted to please my dad. And so those things that he instructed me to do, 95% of the time, I followed them to the T. The other 5%, I realized that I wasn't following them the way I should, and I was corrected for it and brought back into line. And that's how it is with our Heavenly Father. We want to please Him. We want to follow Him. We want people to look at us and see the image of Jesus Christ. How do we know that we have a true connection with Jesus Christ? Let me give you four things here real quick. If we are unjust, dishonest, false, we cannot be a child of Christ. Number two, if we are indulging in known sin, lying, gossip, backbiting, impurity, etc., whatever those things may be, we cannot be a true follower of Christ. Number three, if we are not truly righteous, if we're not seeking to live our lives as Christ did, what does John say earlier in this book, in chapter 2? If we are a follower of Jesus Christ, we're going to do what? We're going to walk as Jesus did. We should, if we are self-seeking and we're looking out for me and not for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for the good of the body, I may not be a follower of Christ. If I'm not given to prayer and reading the Word of God on a consistent basis, I may not be a follower of Christ. If spiritual things are not even on the radar, I may not be a follower of Christ. But if we are righteous in the true sense, and doing what is right towards God, toward men, toward family, toward our church, toward our neighbors, toward the world, toward our Savior who died on the cross for me, that I could say, I am a child of God, and I am a true follower of Jesus Christ, and I have that unique family connection. The next thing that we read in this passage of Scripture is found in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 3, is this family compassion. Family compassion. And we'll move through this quickly because we've talked about this before as we talked about the love of God in our lives. And we have this family compassion. What manner of love? Or see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. What did it take God to give us that identity? What was it? His Son. What manner of love? What quality of love was demonstrated in the fact that now I am called a child of God? For God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for our sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. What manner of love is this? That we are called the children of God. God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we might have an intimate personal relationship with the God of the universe. What manner of love? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about what Christ has done for you, what God has done for you, and what God has sacrificed for you? So that I could say I could spend eternity with God. He sacrificed His Son. Think about that for a minute. I love all of you. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't give up one of my sons for you. But God did. Think about Christ's death on the cross. Think about what God allowed His Son to go through so that we might have the hope of eternal life. The mocking, the beating, being nailed to a cross, being hung there. And the worst of it is his father turned his back on him, because as Christ took the sins of the whole world on his shoulders, his father can't even look at him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Think about that. And we go about our lives. We go about our Christian lives, going through the motions, proclaiming I'm a Christian and living any way I choose. When it comes to sacrifice, when it comes to giving up something that I want or I need or my rights or whatever the case might be, we fight tooth and nail, because it's an inconvenience to me. What manner of love has the Father shown us that we should be called the children of God? Think about that. Just let that sink in for a little bit. What an invitation. Some of your translations say lavished. What manner of love that the Father has lavished on us. The tense of that verb is this, that it has been and continues to be lavished on us. It wasn't a one-time event. Oh, God lavished his love in the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. But the reality is God continues to lavish his love on us. He continues to pour out his love on us and toward us as his children. And here's where we need to check ourselves. Am I more concerned about the world and what the world thinks about me? Or am I more concerned about identifying with the person of Jesus Christ? Because John goes on to tell us that the world is not going to know you. The world is going to hate you. The world is going to despise you if you choose to live a godly life. And am I ready to identify with that family connection, that unique family connection, because of the unique family compassion that was demonstrated toward us? Am I willing to take a chance of the world not knowing me, hating me, despising me, so that I might emulate my Heavenly Father? And that I might follow him in full righteousness and full obedience. And then John goes ahead and challenges us here in the last verse, verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. That's a daily occurrence. Sometimes it's a moment by moment occurrence, isn't it? That I am continually checking my life, that I am continually reviewing my life, that I am, you know, we're not talking about a monastic life. We're not talking about I need to hold myself up somewhere and just, you know, beat myself into submission, all of these other things. But I need to be continually checking my life. I need to continually making sure my life is pure, my heart is pure before God, so that God may be able to use me the way he would choose to use me, so that I might reflect this family image. What are some characteristics? What are the unique family characteristics? John gives us these in verses 4 through 10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brothers. John, again, is pretty poignant. He's telling us there is this distinct difference between one who is a follower of Jesus Christ and one who is a follower of Satan. And here is where we need to get serious. As we think of these family characteristics, am I of the Father or am I of the devil? What is controlling me? Am I living a righteous life? Am I living a sinless life? No, none of us are ever going to live a sinless life. But what we need to be aware of is sin in our life. We need to be aware that Satan is going to be tempting us, that Satan is going to be throwing things at us. We need to be constantly aware. Paul tells us that we need to put on the full armor of God so that we may be able to withstand those attacks of Satan. And when Paul says that, he's saying, do this all the time. Be aware that you have this armor. Make sure it is in place. Don't let your guard down. Be aware of what is going on around you. Keep short accounts of sin. Don't continue to fall into the same sin over and over and over again. God, here I am again. Done it again. Oh, it's removing ourselves from that and being aware and just removing any obstacles and anything that may contribute to that in our lives so that we might reflect the image of our Creator. So really, we can entitle this section, Who's Your Father? Who's your father? Are you living righteously or are you living unrighteously? Are you allowing sin to fester in your life? Or are you allowing the Spirit of God to do His cleansing work in your life? Am I allowing sin to have full reign in my heart, in my mind, in my thinking? Am I allowing self to take the throne? Or am I willing to allow Christ to resume His position on the throne of my heart? That I am yielding myself to a holy God who lavished great love on me so that I might be called His child. Are you a son of the devil or are you a son of the Father? Only you can make that determination. We can look around. We can see the life. We can see what's going on. We can guess. But it's only you who can say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That I'm allowing the Word of God and the truth of the Word and the Spirit of God to do His work in me so that when people look at me, they see the image of Jesus Christ. But in my actions and responses and in my attitudes, am I displaying something else? Am I displaying somebody else that I'm following after? Do we all sin? Yes, we do. Do we have an opportunity and privilege to make that right with our Heavenly Father? Yes, we do. John already told us that, didn't he? Chapter 1, verse 9. Written to Christians, it's not written to the unsaved. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then he goes on in chapter 2, if anybody does sin, we do have an advocate who speaks to the Father in our defense. And that is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. John already tells us that we can make right that relationship through the person of Jesus Christ. But we need to be honest with ourselves. And we need to be honest with the Spirit of God, and we need to be honest with Jesus Christ and say, Father, there are things in my life that do not reflect your image. I have displayed those things. I have had those attitudes. I have done those things. And you know what? I need to make that right. I pray that this morning, as we've looked at this unique relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, that we can be serious about that intimate relationship that we have with Him, that we are willing to acknowledge before God that I need to right some wrongs in my life. Confessing that to God first, that if I need to go to somebody and make that right, that I'm willing and ready to go and make that relationship right, so that God's Spirit may be able to do His work in me. As we talked a couple weeks ago, we are in a unique battle, and we need to be united. We need to be following the same banner. We need to be following Jesus Christ, giving up rights, giving up what I think I need to have, so that the cause of Christ and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ can be proclaimed from this place to a lost and dying world. May God speak to our hearts today. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. Father, at times your word is hard because it means I need to do something with it. And Father, I pray that we might get serious this morning, that you might speak to our hearts. Maybe this morning is that morning that you start that revival here with us. Father, this morning as we have this altar here, maybe some of us need to come and kneel before you, confess sin, get our lives right, so that we might be able to glorify you in this place, that we might be able to move ahead and be useful vessels in your hands. Father, I pray that you might speak to our hearts. And I pray that you may be glorified this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you have a need this morning, the altar is here and available. Our deacons will be available, their wives, to come and kneel and pray with you if you'd like that. I'll be down here in front. Let's get serious about this relationship, this unique relationship that we have with Jesus Christ.